Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, May 20th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 27, the first paragraph, Some of Our Alcoholic Readers, and we're reading through two paragraphs. We'll be ending with Closed on Him with a Clang, and we'll be commenting on those two paragraphs. Today's readers are Stacy T., who will be reading the 12 Steps, Jennifer W., reading the 12 Traditions, and the readers of the text are Susan H., Cindy D., and Kathy Jo P. The share ID for Sunday, May 19th, the special edition, is 19,920. That's 19920. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 12,000, oh, I think I did something wrong there, 12,922, and I'm going to make a correction on the special edition was 12,920. Sorry about that, you guys. I put May 19th there instead of 12. Okay, so special edition, 12,920, the meeting this morning, 12,922. Okay, our newcomer greeter for today is Ginger C, and Reggie O will be making the announcements. And the OA, so let's see here. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. AA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Stacy T. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning. This is Stacy T., recovering compulsive overeater in Cleveland, Ohio. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Excuse me. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. I pass.
And thank you, Stacy T. Jennifer W., will you please read the 12 traditions?
Hi there, this is Jennifer, compulsive overeater from Sweden. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group would never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, or other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Jennifer W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. And someone is unmuted, so if you could mute your phone, please, star one to mute. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are we're on page 27, the first paragraph, beginning with some of our alcoholic readers. We're reading through two paragraphs, ending with closed on him with a clang. And we'll be commenting on those two paragraphs. So, Susan H., would you get us started, please?
Good morning. This is Susan H. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Ohio. Some of our alcoholic readers may think they can do without spiritual help. Let us tell you the rest of the conversation our friend had with his doctor. The doctor said, "You have the mind of a chronic alcoholic. I have never seen one single case recover where the state of mind existed to the extent that it does in you." Our friend felt as though the gates of hell had closed on him with a clang. And what jumps out at me is that he felt like the gates of hell had closed on him with a clang. I have felt that a large part of my life, like there was something wrong that I could never get out of, never. Yeah. It's an awful feeling. I had that feeling much of my life. My life in the food was absolutely hopeless. What putting down the food, working the steps has given me is an appreciation, even gratitude, of that fact. Of myself, am hopeless. The desperation that I worked and ate to deny brought me to a life where my worst days are better than the best I had then, and to a design for living that really works. To trust in a higher power that will absolutely guide me. If only I keep in fit spiritual condition and ask, I can never express my gratitude enough. The desperate situation brings me to a higher power, to a fellowship, to caring and being cared for. Today, I am so grateful to know a higher power who loves me, to have a sponsor who shares and shines a light on the Big Book, and sponsees who remind me of the gifts of this program. I am just overwhelmed with gratitude. And I think that is all I have to say, so I will pass.
And thank you, Susan H., for getting us started this morning. So if you have not shared in the past day or so, Thursday or Friday, if you'd like to share on the first two paragraphs, page 27, we're starting on the first paragraph with some of our alcoholic readers going through two paragraphs, ending with closed on him with a clang. If you'd like to share on those two paragraphs, if you could give me your name, please.
My name is
Elle.
My name is
Your name is what?
Freedom.
Freedom, okay. And the first initial of your last name, Freedom?
H.
Okay, and who came in after Freedom?
Kara L.
Sarah L?
Kara.
Is it Kara with a C or Sarah with an H?
It is Kara with a K.
Kara with a K, okay. Thanks, Kara. Yep. Sorry about that.
Thank you. No worries.
Okay, and who else?
Tracy M.
Okay, two of you came in, so let's do the you two one at a time.
Tracy M.
Tracy M?
Yes.
Okay, and who came after Tracy?
Melanie C.
Melanie C.
Cindy D.
Okay, and Cindy D. And I can take one more.
Karen D.
Okay, I think I heard a gentleman. What was the name?
Aaron D.
Aaron D. Okay, that's a good lineup. So, Freedom H, Kara L, Tracy M, Melanie C, Cindy D, and Aaron D. So go ahead, Freedom H.
Thank you for all those who do service. I'm very thankful for these 12-step meetings. It says the doctor said you have the mind of a chronic alcoholic. I can so relate to that. That's how I feel with my eating, was just like that. And it says some of our alcoholic readers may think they can do it without spiritual help. I came to the realization that it's like spinning my wheels. There's no way I can do it without spiritual help. I am on a new plan, and I'm realizing I need to take it one day at a time and slow down, because I have a tendency to be obsessed about other people and what they're doing, or be I'm ADHD, so I'm hyperactivity. But I have to turn to my higher power. And I'm learning through this program and through listening to other people that it's very crucial I make it a habit, or learn how to make it a habit, to turn to God, to turn to my higher power for help. Because I try doing it on my own and I keep falling on my face. And my health is very important at this time. So I thank you, and I will mute with that.
And thank you, Freedom H. Kara L., you're up next, followed by Tracy M.
Good morning. My name is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you, everyone, who brings this meeting to us and does service. I love these two paragraphs because it just reminded me of the hopelessness that I felt when I was in my own well before I had my spiritual awakening, and before I had a clear contact with my higher power, and before I worked these steps. I was just working and working in my own well to try to solve my problem. And it did feel like the gates of hell were closing, because I tried so hard, and where I had been able to will other things in my life, my food, I was totally powerless over, and my life was unmanageable. wasn't until that I was able to make contact with my higher power and really trust and put my full reliance on my higher power that things cleared up. And I will have to say that it takes daily action of keeping that path clear and in all things turning to my higher power for my higher power's opinion. And even the small, simple little things of what to wear and what to eat, to the big decisions in my life, I have to turn to my higher power and ask my higher power's opinion. My job, whenever I ask for input from my higher power, is to keep my path clear and to keep asking and keep turning in all things to my higher power. And so today I get to have food neutrality, and I get to have freedom, and I get to have a design for living that helps me keep that. So when I do, my mind is a little unrestful. When I'm back in my own will, I do have tools in 10, 11, and 12 to turn to my higher power and to do my part, which is to keep my path clear so that I am able to stay in my higher power as well. And with that, I'll pass today. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Kara L. Tracy M., it is your turn, followed by Melanie C. Star one to unmute, Tracy.
Hi, my name is Tracy M. This is the first time I'm admitting that I'm a compulsive overeater. I feel like I can relate with a lot of this because I can't control my food, and I feel like the gates of hell are clanging on me because I am powerless what I put in my mouth, and I don't want to live like this anymore, so I appreciate this.
Tracy, we seem to have lost you. You still there? Okay, Tracy, we're not hearing you, so... Melanie C., do you want to go ahead? Can anybody hear me?
I can. This is Tracy M.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Tracy. I don't know what happened, but do you want to finish?
Yes, I do.
I didn't hear you, so I don't know if it was my phone or yours, but go ahead. Keep going. Sorry.
So just Tracy, I'm a compulsive overeater and just finding out or trying to control my food for a long time, and I can't, and I'm really sick of it. And this is the first time I'm admitting that to calling myself a compulsive overeater, and I can't do it alone. And I was suggested to listen to this study, and I can relate a lot with the gates of hell. And I'm hoping to find recovery through the fellowship and take it one day at a time. And this I'll pass. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Tracy M. Okay, Melanie C., you're up, followed by Cindy
Thanks.
D.
Okay, thanks, Kathleen. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Wilsonville, Oregon. You have a mind of a chronic alcoholic. You're going to need some spiritual help, but I don't really know about this God thing and utilizing it. I tried a few times, and I found it quite lacking and wanting. And so I had the same feeling. You know, I felt like the doors had clung shut on me because there was no other hope. And I certainly wasn't going to get this God thing. I tried, and I'm not real sure that I wanted to anyway. So I'm going to ask, is there a loophole? Is there a loophole for dear old Melanie? I mean, I tried this deal and I meant to, and I don't get this thing about the mind of a alcoholic. What does the mind of an alcoholic look like anyway, by the way, would be a question I'd be asking Carl Jung. And what I'm kind of gathering from this is that the mind is sort of like this. Somebody's eating a Reese's peanut butter cup, and some of those doggone things come in two packs. They're twins, twin pack of those things. And that person, that normal person, is going to be looking for somebody to eat the second one. And I'm on the outside with everything that I have within me, with every bit of sane thinking that I have within me, saying, what the heck? What the heck? And I'm going to probably have some other critical things. And I've learned in here that that's the mind of an alcoholic. You know, I'm going to want to know where the 8 or 10 or other ones are that I can go grab up after I have this one little dainty one in front of you. The other thing is that I'm going to see the sky as pink and you're going to see it as blue. Because I just see opposite. I just see opposite. And that has turned up for me over and over and over and over again. I have the mind that tells me that the horror of yesterday isn't as bad, and so I can have this bite today. The horror, the crying, the heaving shoulders wasn't as bad, and so I can eat this thing today. That's the mind of an alcoholic, and it keeps me from remembering over and over and over again these strange mental blank spots. And unless and until I can find a power that's greater than Melanie's ego, and it is being defined and broadened all the time, I'm not going to get this deal. And my only job now that the food is out of the way, I have no allergens in my body whatsoever, thank God, and I'm neutral around food, is to enlarge and perfect that relationship to the best of my ability so that those strange mental blank spots will never rob me of my life again. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. Cindy D., you are up next, followed by Erin D.
Thank you, Kathleen. Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas. And, you know, this last sentence, the gates of hell had closed on him with a clang. You know, thinking about how I used to feel before I came to program and, you know, have this visual of being in this, like, pit. And trying to climb my way, claw my way out of it. And at the top of the pit was this like trap door. And, you know, as I was trying all the different things I tried, I'd see the door open a little bit. And then I'd get to the top and boom, it would shut on me. Every time I got, you know, to near a weight that was more healthy, it would shut and I'd be right back at the bottom starting over again. And it just was over and over. And it wasn't until I came to program and I said, you know what, I really give up. I am done. I've tried so many things and they haven't worked. There's got to be something else. And I trusted what I heard on this line. I heard recovery and I heard the promises coming true in other people. And I said, so this works for others. I'm going to trust that it works for me. I wasn't sure, but I decided to act as if and act as if I had a higher power. And soon I came to believe it, and I got recovered, and I'm still recovered today, you know, almost a year later. And, you know, I have periods of time where I forget to connect with my higher power, but I get reminded. I feel uncomfortable and, you know, discontented and irritable and restless. And I was listening to a speaker, and I heard him say that, you know, we have a spiritual awakening, but we all take naps. We're human, so we take naps. And I thought, you know what? That's exactly what it's like for me. Sometimes I take a nap. And I'm trying to remember that naps are temporary and short, and they're part of the process for me. And that I reach back for my contact with God, and I'm awake again. And I'm working my program. And I need the structure and the discipline that steps 10, 11, and 12 give us. I'm very grateful that I'm here, and I hope that I've shared something that will be of help to someone. And with that, Kathleen, I'll pass.
And thank you, Cindy D. So before we take Erin, just a reminder, we're on page 27, the first paragraph that begins with some of our alcoholic readers. We're reading through two paragraphs today, ending with closed on him with a clang. And I'll be taking some names after Erin D. But Erin D., would you go ahead, please?
Yes, this is Erin D., and what I have wanted to say has already been shared, so I think I'll pass. Thank you.
Okay, Erin. All righty. So who else would like to share on these two paragraphs?
Paula D.
Beatrice O.
Linda G.
Beatrice O. Linda G. Was it Linda D. or Linda G.?
Linda G.
Linda G., okay.
Deborah
Lane
G.
Okay,
Paula
wait, two
D.
people came. I got you, Paula. Two people came in just after Linda G. Who was that?
Deborah G.
Deborah G. And who came in with Deborah?
Lane C.
Okay, two more came in. Was it Lane C?
Yep.
Okay, and who came in with Lane?
Susan H.
Ginger. Susan H. And I heard Ginger. So, okay, so let's stop with that lineup. I have Paula D., Beatrice O., Linda G., Deborah G., Lane C., Susan H., and Ginger C., and we'll hopefully get to all of you. So go ahead, Paula.
Thank you. Thank you for your service today, and thank you for hearing me. I thought I was not heard. This is Paula D., recovered by and with the grace of God. You know, as these were being read, you know, it all started with think they can do it without spiritual help. Well, that's what always got me into trouble. I was thinking all the time. Let me see how I can do this. Now let me see how I can do this. And there you hear the problem. And then he talked about the conversation. I have to tell you, this doctor had no bedside manner. And then I realized when I had heart surgery, I didn't care if he had bedside manner. I wanted the truth, and I wanted him to use his skills. That's what this doctor did. He used the skill of honesty that most of us avoid. Oh, by the way, when I say most of us, I will speak for myself. I will speak for myself. If you want to join, please do. That's what he said. You have the mind. There it goes again. That of thinking. And then it says, I have never seen one single case recover. Wow, you talk about a clang. You know, I always visualize. Oh, more than visualize. You hear the clang. You hear it. Ba-boom. Oh, that's a clang of something that cannot be opened only by the grace of God. And what does he say here? Where that state of mind existed. That's it. Existed. That's where you lived. I lived when I travel, and I travel often. Thank you, God. Still the ability to. I go from one state to another. And then it says, oh, tells you when you're leaving, and it tells you when you're entering. Look at what it says. Our friend felt. Oh, this is so far beyond feelings. But let the feeling take you to where it needs to take you. So today I understand honesty. And I think this man finally came to the place where he understood. We will go on to the next paragraph. And I go on to live another day. Blessings to all. And with that, I do pass.
Thank you, Paula D. And Beatrice O., you're up next, followed by Linda G.
Good morning. This is Beatrice O. And I needed the gates of hell to close in on me. Otherwise, I don't think that I would have surrendered. And the second thing is where it says may think that they can do it without spiritual help. So when I got here, they told me that I needed spiritual help in Overeaters Anonymous. And first of all, I didn't trust God. I wasn't believing God. And I felt that I was shortchanged as a child. So my heart was barren and my soul was really bitter. It took years for me to accept spiritual help, and I had a valid excuse. So for many years in this program, you know, I got hijacked by the food plans. I got hijacked by Howe and 90 Day and another program, another food program. So I operated under the guidelines of a food plan, and that became my higher power. And when I couldn't meet the expectations, I had shame and guilt. And all those times I had surrendered to God, but I had doubt. And that doubt for me was kind of like I was throwing out a banana peel waiting to slip, because I doubted God. And So this disease is really covert. And in order for me to liberate my soul and come to believe, it wasn't until I was in hell, you know, where I walked through those doors. You know, I wasn't at the gates of hell. I walked into hell. And I was very scared. And the first time in my life, I was able to let go of the flour and sugar, the strict food plans, the shame game, and surrender to a higher power, that spiritual help that had been there from day one, that I would not believe. So I had to believe in a power greater than myself so that I could walk out of hell and not look for a slip anymore and not have any doubt whatsoever. And I had to concede to my innermost self that I was a food addict and that I could not eat flour and sugar. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Beatrice O. And Linda G., you're up next, followed by Deborah G.
Good morning. This is Linda G. from Massachusetts. Thank you so much for your service. This is a great paragraph. It was wonderful to hear everybody. What came to my mind listening to that, which is something that comes very often to my mind about that despair, about the gates of hell closing and feeling like that, was I was first introduced to the whole concept of recovery through the 12 steps about 40 years ago. And the first meeting I went to, a man, it was in Cambridge, Massachusetts, a man was telling his story, and he said that he had been a survivor of a concentration camp in Germany. He'd been in it as a child, but that, and his alcoholism, which I call my food compulsive overeating, was much more of a prison, of a hell, than being in that concentration camp. And that's something for me, that is true. I never was in a concentration camp, but I believe that, and I believe, for me, that being in the food is worse. It is being in hell. And this, for me, has been a 38-year journey on and off, and I had a major relapse about a year ago, and all the spirituality was leaving. So I wasn't on top of it, and that's what led to it. Picked up my alcoholic foods after 14 years, but being in another program, worshiping a food plan, and I am getting back to that spiritual life that I had. I'm working the steps through the big book. And I know, for me, that's the only solution. I know it. I needed to get double knee replacement about 15 years ago, and my doctor said, "I want to have you get gastric bypass surgery so we can operate," because I was 310 pounds, which I had never been. I was 115, and then I switched seats on the Titanic from somewhere else, another program. And I looked at him and I said, no, I'm not going to have surgery. The answers are in the 12 steps, because I had a background from somewhere else. And he looked at me like I was absolutely out of my mind. And that just came out of my soul, my heart, mind, and soul, that answer.
Time, please.
Okay, so thank you. And I know for me, that's my truth. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda G. Deborah G., you're up next, followed by Lane C.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Deborah, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And thank you so much for your service and all the shares, all the spiritual help I'm receiving already this morning. My mind, you know, being at another 12-step meeting, gathering all my binge foods from that meeting and going into the parking lot and eating them away from everyone. Having the shakes in the morning and feeling dizzy and going back to eating it again. Feeling depressed and full of anxiety off and on and going back to eating again. Having just a crazy head of all kinds of negative and fear and thoughts that were just off the wall thoughts. You know, where did that all come from? Came from the sugar, flour, and wheat. And then going back to it again. I couldn't stop. You know, I'd have all these symptoms for a fleeting moment. I maybe I have a little bit of awareness, but then I'd be back in the food again. And what I learned was when I finally surrendered that through going through the steps and living those beautiful 12 steps, and taking other people through the steps. That was my spiritual help. That was my spiritual solution. I thought that food was the solution with everything, but it's the spiritual solution, which I didn't know until I surrendered and came here for help. And also using the tools. You know, I believe that God works through other people, just like this morning. I need to do the meetings because I still have that mind. And if I don't feed that mind with all that I hear, keep feeding it, eventually I may talk myself into doing going back to the food. You know, practicing the other tools that I have, you know, writing down my food, calling my food into my sponsor, going to 3 meetings a week and 3 phone calls a day. Connecting, continue to keep connected. I have to keep my mind connected. Being of service, doing whatever I can to be of service, doing the writing. I mean, there's so many beautiful tools I can use. It's all spiritual help, and I am so grateful and feel so blessed. It feels good. And that beautiful serenity prayer to be able to have what I have today. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Deborah G. Lane C., you're up next, followed by Susan H.
Hi, good morning, my fellows. This is Lane C., a recovering compulsive overeater in upstate New York. You know, so the piece that I can relate to in this, in these two paragraphs is our moments when I thought in this program that I could do without spiritual help. The last time that I relapsed was a time when I really had put myself beyond God's help. I was turning my sponsor into my higher power. I was attempting to please others. I was putting my food in other people's hands and then blaming them for some of my food decisions. I was engaging in some food behaviors that weren't good for me. And I just was not open to where God was moving in my life or my higher power was moving in my life. At that point, I really saw sort of the 10th step and the 11th step as tasks to do, boxes on my to-do list to check off, and not really tools for spiritual depth, and not really times to listen to my higher power and to be open and to be teachable. For me to have the mind of a chronic alcoholic is to be in this state of believing that I can have something just this once, or I can sneak it and it's not a big deal, or moments when I am in my own ego and just it's all I, me, 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 living in the fear, living in the selfishness, living in the dishonesty, living in the self-seeking and in the fear, most of all. What I find fascinating about this piece is that, you know, these this doctor can say, I have never seen one single case recover where the state of mind existed to the extent that it does in you. And what I love about this program, what I heard from the very beginning, is that, you know, every single one of us can recover. If I can recover, you can recover. If, as long as we are willing to follow these simple instructions, simple but not easy instructions in this book, as long as we are willing to work the steps, every single one of us on this line can recover. It takes a willingness, it takes a spiritual openness, and it does take hard work. And I know that feeling. I know that feeling of as though the gates of hell had closed on us. With a clang. I know that from my last relapse, and I know that from when I first came into this program, just feeling completely hopeless and desperate and spiritually shut off, and acting from this very guarded and fearful place. And I also know that that if we are open and if we are willing, during that last relapse, I just had this really honest moment with my higher power to finally bring it to my higher power and say, I have relapsed. I am here. This is the reality of my situation. And the only thing that I heard in the midst of that was, you know, I love you anyway. The only thing that I heard from my higher power was, you know, there is just love here and the desire for you to recover and to get healthy. And it's been through leaning into that higher power and relying that I have been recovering. Thank you so much. So grateful to all my fellows and grateful for your facilitation today, Kathleen. No, thank you. I'll pass.
And thank you, Lane C. Okay, Susan H., you're up next, followed by Ginger C.
Good morning, Susan H., a compulsive overeater in Colorado. Thanks, everyone on the line. This has been great. Two things stand out to me. One is the idea that it says, I've never seen one single case existed to the extent that it does in you. And he says, some of our alcoholic readers may think they can do without spiritual help. And there's a very simple test for this. If we think we're not compulsive overeaters, truly compulsive overeaters, then we just go out and we just give up our red foods, any food we've ever had a problem with, and just do it without the 12 steps. And if it works, then we know that we're not a true compulsive overeater, and then that works great, and then just do that. My brother has... he has a medical issue and he had to take out all high carb items out of his diet. He took it out, no problem, never had to think twice about it and has never had a problem since. He's not a true compulsive overeater. If it doesn't work, then we know that we need something additional. And that's where it brings us into these 12 steps. And so it's a very clear test to do. The second thing that it stood out to me was the gates of hell had closed on him with a clang. And I love that because clang to me indicates clarity. It's loud. It's something you can't ignore. It's something big. And all of us have had those moments. And so, and some of us have those, you know, have had those moments many times. And that clang is such an amazing sound because while it sounds like horror and it sounds terrible as those have described, it's really clarity that just leads us to the solution. And so I try to pay attention to loud noises that my higher power gives me that just helps me see clarity. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Susan H. Ginger C., you are up next. Go ahead, Ginger.
Hi, Kathleen. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. And thanks so much for your service this morning. And great paragraph. You have the mind of a chronic alcoholic, and so many beautiful shares before about what is this mind that we're dealing with, and it's delusional thinking. You know, I cannot tell the true from the false, and that's when I get most in trouble because I get these crazy ideas. I think they're really good, and they always get me into trouble, and again, I can't tell the difference, so I have to check motives all the time and have to run it by another because they may be like crystal clear. Oh, Ginge, off the beam, you know, it doesn't feel that right. And the craziest thinking as a recovered compulsive overeater is that this time the food will be different. Maybe it wasn't that bad. Maybe I'm making way too much of this. Or why bother anyhow? But that thought that the food was the answer to life and life's problems, that's the worst lie that my brain is filled with. And the only defense, as the book tells us, is that power between me and the bite. because the elbow will absolutely bend and pick up if I don't have that power between that food. And so we just get to practice so imperfectly a day at a time this program of action. It's not what I'm thinking, it's always what I'm doing. And, you know, I have to fire my head, this head that is filled with lies. You know, half my brain is filled with the lie, and the other part of my brain believes the lie, buys into the lie. It's like, oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. So I got to fire this head of mine, and I got to hire my heart. And that's what happened to Bill in the kitchen with Evie. Bill is an intellect. He was always in his head, in his mind, in his thoughts. And Evie so beautifully dropped him down into that heart chakra, the love connection. And that's where he started to feel hope. So, you know, it's a simple program. It's just this action. But my head will tell me, oh, Jen, you're too tired. You work full time. Kids are getting ready to go off in August. You got to prepare for, you know, so many thoughts that will bombard me because it's that worldly clamor, you know, and clamor is just that monkey mind. You know, thoughts are just bombarding me one after another after another. It's like absolute insanity. They shout loudly and insistently, and they're so demanding, and they want my attention. And that's why I love the prayer and meditation, because when I'm an addict, it's all about distracting me from what I need, which is God. So I have to always be on guard. Where's my thinking? How am I doing? And then get quiet, take a step back, reconsent to that higher power, and pray. But again, this head is out to get me, and it's not going anywhere. It's attached, not going anywhere. So again, we practice imperfectly, but we can get out of this food nightmare. And I'll just end that I hope the gates of hell have closed, because I had a lot of pain, and I had a lot of weight gain. But was I convinced? Was I really done? Not quite there, people. That's why I kept relapsing. So until we're done, we're just not going to be there. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
And thank you, Ginger C. So we have time for one more share. Who would like to take us out here?
Kathy Jo P.
Okay, go ahead, Kathy Jo P., the birthday girl.
Hello, this is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. And 3 years ago today, I thought I was abstinent. I wasn't eating sugar. And I went out for my birthday, and that day I drank a bottle of wine. And before bed that night, I realized that a part of my wanting to be thin, that was my goal, was that perhaps I should not drink wine anymore. And I gave it up 3 years ago. And, you know, I needed a lot more than that. That was my will. That was my mind thinking. Knowledge got us nowhere. And thank God, a month later, I found this meeting and got on the phone with my vision sponsor. And the first thing she said to me is, "Are you entirely abstinent?" And I said, "Well, I haven't had sugar in 7 years and I haven't had alcohol in a month." And I mentioned two more things that I thought perhaps I should not be eating. And then she questioned me about another thing. And I'm happy to say that 3 years later, almost, I have not had those five items. But I also worked and worked and worked and continue to work on my mind and the things that keep me from God. So it's so much more about the food. And yes, when I came in to the rooms of this meeting, my goal was to be thin. And I literally said, I don't want to die. I want to die thin. Today, I don't care if I die thin. I care that I die at peace and with God. And yes, I am down 114 pounds, but what matters more is a day at a time, I am becoming at peace with God and with you and with my body. And I thank God for that, and I am so grateful to be with all of you today. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Kathy Jo P., and thank you everyone who shared this morning for your excellent shares. It was a really great meeting. And a special thanks to Team Monday, Stacy T., Jennifer W., Sarah H., Cindy D., Kathy Jo P., Ginger C., and Reggie O. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Cindy D., would you please read a vision for you?
Thanks, Kathleen. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.